What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
All right, guys, let's talk about something we all need. High quality, comfortable, stylish clothing that actually holds up in real life. Whether you're grinding at work, hitting the gym, or just hanging out, the Normal brand has you covered. I've been rocking their gear, and let me tell you, it's not your average clothing line. They've nailed it perfect with the perfect blend of durability, comfort, style. Whether it's a go-to rugged Henley, a hoodie, a button-down that doesn't make you feel like a stiff, the Normal brand is where it's at. The best part is you can support the show while upgrading your wardrobe. Just hit the link in the description below. Check out their collection. Trust me, once you try it, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. The Normal brand. Made for real life, built to last. Now go check them out.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles. Made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show.
We have a very special guest in studio here. I'm very excited about this. The great and powerful Hakeem McFarland.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah thanks for excited. What you do.
Well, thank you, man. Well, you know, first, let's just kind of start off. If you could just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm from Manhattan, born and raised in Minneapolis. Moved to Manhattan 3 years ago, or as I like to say, from the Mini-Apple to the Big Apple. Now, I just started a Choose Yourself movement about 2 years ago to help people embrace their authenticity and independence and then identify their gift and contribute back to humanity, which is what I believe we are truly created to do. But I started as partnering with my uncle in the spirits industry. So I went from selling spirits to lifting spirits. And in that transition, I developed a mindset, the Choose Yourself mindset, which is a balanced lifestyle, because life is not about being a tight ass. You got to have fun. You have to celebrate your hard work, and the work ain't as hard when you do. Mm-hmm. So I got a book coming out, Choose Yourself to Be Chosen. It's a workbook. I also have a podcast as well where we provide perspective and resources for personal development and discovery. I do retreats. I travel around and speak about the Choose Yourself movement to whoever want to hear it. Because like you said, it can get lonely choosing yourself. Mm-hmm. I also have the Gut Repair Solution. I'm big on gut health. Because the gut and the mind were combined when we developed in the womb till it was separated by your spine. That's why people call it the second brain, but I call it the first brain. Because if you eat like shit, you feel like shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So between those things, man, embracing the balance, providing resources for growth and resources for celebration, and I'll be there for both of them.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Well, and what was that pivotal moment that made you realize you had to choose yourself and take full ownership of it?
Yeah, man. I went through plenty of breaking points. I mean, I think some of us go through one breaking point and we're finally done dealing with our own shit. Sometimes it takes the creator to knock on the door several times. Sometimes you got to lose your health. Sometimes you got to lose your business. Some people lose a limb. Shit. But eventually, we got to be done dealing with our own shit and put the victim's mentality down. Embrace, accept, research, reflect, and reapply. That's how you GYM, and that's grow your mind within a size. So it took me, when I was 16, I lost my little brother, he was 6, to leukemia and short gut syndrome. And what that did to my family and what that did to my mindset towards the medical industry and big pharma and how they what they try to do with kids with cancer and all that. I buried all those emotions under sports, friends, and school for 2 years. And when I started partying, those emotions came out And I turned into an angry version of the version that was hurt. So the way that I expressed my hurt and my grief was anger. So after high school, I went D1 full ride, ran from that.
What sport?
Football. Went to NDSU. D1 full ride, ran from that. And then I went D2. First play, first game, tore my ACL. Sat out for a year. Had 3 more surgeries. Started messing around in the streets. Went back home to mom. Got into this huge fight at security where I realized, this ain't for me. That shit hurt. My face hurts. My knuckles hurt. My liver hurts. I need to get back on the field. So I'm 19. Went to my third school. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm coming back up, man. Coming back out the dark place. Played for 4 years. Got All-American. And when I was at Winona, I had punched a guy in the face. Broke his tooth, which is, I guess, first-degree assault. So when I was 19, I got 20 years probation, first-degree assault.
20 years?
And 86 months over my head.
What?
My first crime ever.
For punching somebody?
I was on crutches.
Jeez.
You were on crutches and you punched somebody?
At my birthday party at the football house. And some random dude was like, I'm coming in. I'm like, no, you're not. He kept walking in. I was just like, bop, real quick. And he just ran. And that was a whole fight. And so that whole year, I was kicked out of that school. I was doing security, going back and forth every month, going to court. Going to court. Am I going to jail? Am I going to prison? Am I going to prison? They just gave me probation. And one of the requirements was to stay in school. So that was another kind of
pivotal moment.
Pivotal moment was to go back to school. But I still hadn't dealt with the grief of my brother. I had still went football, streets, partying, fighting, back to football, back to school. And then I tried to go to the NFL, but my PO said, you can't leave the county. So I couldn't go play arena. I made the team, went to a tryout, made the team, but I couldn't leave the county. So then that was another breaking point. Went back to the streets. What do I do every time? I go back to the streets where it's comfortable and you can numb yourself.
You fall back into the patterns.
Then I got into a fight I couldn't walk away from. Got locked up 8 months. Numb my pain the whole time with all the stuff that was floating around inside. Got out of jail. 30 days later, got a D-dub, went back for 8 months. In that second 8 months, that's all the shit that I was, victim's mentality. Oh my God, my brother, NDSU, that's fucked up. I got a felony. My brother died, hospital. My dad wasn't around. Oh my God, And then eventually I had to sit in that cell by myself for 8 days because somebody died in the jail. And I didn't have a book, a notepad, a pen, no food, no nothing.
You're stuck with yourself.
Right there. So the first day I went through withdrawals. The second day I was blaming, complaining. The third day I'm
withdrawals from drugs.
Yeah, pills, fucking partying, man. I used to be up for days, man. Like, I don't even know. I love sleep now. Yeah. Shit, that's why I say it's so important to not numb yourself and be independent because I went through it. You know, I know how much it keeps you from dealing with the shame, the trauma, and, you know, what's actually beneath the life you're trying to create externally. And so, you know, sat up in there. By day 4, I was like, ain't no touchdowns, ain't no girls, ain't no friends, ain't no drugs, ain't no nothing. What you gonna do? And every time I went to jail, I'm like, please, God, let me out. And then when I get out, I'm like, smoke that weed, fucking bitches, hit them drugs. I'm in. Every time. Except for this time. This time, I didn't get out. So I had to sit in that. And I was like, all right. So I read The Secret, the book The Secret.
Yep.
And that's what, because I was so hesitant to believe in Jesus. One, my mom thanked Jesus for everything and I didn't get it. Mm. Thank you for the parking spot. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this. I'm like, didn't you work for this? Right. My brother died. I'm like, what kind of Jesus takes away a kid? I got felony probation. I'm like, what kind of Jesus puts this on a kid? Not understanding. By this time, it was like when I read The Secret and it was about the attraction and the higher self. And it all comes from within, an understanding of yourself. And I was like, all right, all my choices got me here. I'm going to choose myself and get up out of here. So 18 months, I stayed sober after that and really honed in on personal development, partnered with my uncle. Personal development spilled into my sales, started crushing it in sales around the market. We had top.
What kind of sales?
Agave spirits. So I was liquor sales. I was a liquor rep.
Okay.
But I was driving around in a hoopty, no AC. I was living in the basement with my homeboys and shit, unfinished basement. It had a beehive in it.
You look at some of the greatest starts and of businesses and companies and stories, And it all starts from something like that.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yeah. No, they definitely had spiders and rats too. Cause one time there was a cricket, there was a cricket and I killed it. I cut it in half and I went upstairs to get a paper towel. I came back down and it was gone. I was like, oh shit, we got bees, crickets. Just, I'm in the jungle.
You just served it up for them. I'm like,
cut them up. Another cricket came or something, but driving in that hoopty, man, and just driving in the beater, putting my polo on the seat. Parking down the block.
Now, are you in Manhattan at this time?
No, this is Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2018, I started with my uncle. 2021, I moved to Manhattan.
But what brought you to Manhattan?
Was brand expansion. Okay. So then we crushed it, went out there. And
With the agave spirits?
With the liquor. Just that was my focus when I went out there, straight liquor company.
Okay.
I get out there and all of a sudden my uncle's like, damn, we got to shut down and restructure. I was like, what the? So I just sold my nicest couch, my nicest car, my nicest freaking everything I ever had come from coming out of that, go to New York, and then income just stripped. That was the first time really losing my income like that, my whole salary, like overnight. And so I just leaned into my foundation. I leaned into Choose Yourself, my content. And as I started doing this motivational content, these words and slogans would come up in the mornings when I was speaking. I wouldn't intentionally say them, but while I was saying it, the feedback I got and the feeling I got would make me, you know, realize I need to keep this.
And yeah, because your posts are like poetry. Like the way some of the ones that I was seeing was just like kind of like rap, but slowed down in a poetry type of way that you would see at like going to a poetry reading. It's very inspirational.
Oh, it's so fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, man. No, I try.
It's engaging. Very engaging.
And that's the thing. Like how many ways can I provide a perspective to someone to finally trigger them to choose themselves? And everybody has to get to that trigger point. And, you know, a lot of us had a lot of breaking points before the trigger point. My trigger point was that eighth time in jail. I finally was like, all right, cool. But being able to provide something that has a flow, it has rhymes and like the words go with it and the music, like, that's multiple sensory input. So hopefully it clicks on multiple levels. And that's the intention, man. I love doing it too. Like I wake up and I just love doing it. I wake up, I'm like, oh, I should talk about accountability today. Out of nowhere, it just comes to me. I wake up, brush my teeth, cold shower. I get out, I'm like, relationships. Some reason. So some people say that's from source. Some people say that's your feminine energy being in the creative. Some people say that's your subconscious speaking. Some people say that's a way of healing. Some people say, you know, as many times as I've explained this, people have a bunch of different definitions, and I think it's all true.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, yeah, like you said, multiple truths.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So you faced addiction, grief, legal troubles. What's the biggest misconception you think people have about personal development?
That you have to seek external. I think people, you think you need a coach, think you need some ayahuasca trip, you think you need a book, you think you need a bunch of money, you think you need someone to hold your hand. That's not personal development. That's a start, but eventually your confidence and your evolution comes from what you do for yourself when you're by yourself. If you can never make the same actions for yourself when you're by yourself that you need someone around to do those things for yourself, that's still a form of dependency. If you can't wake up on time, if you can't eat balanced, if you can't budget on your own, if you can't, you know, talk about your emotions, if you can't exercise consistently, if you can't talk nice to yourself, you can't stay off the scrolling, stay off the porn, stay off the dating apps. Those are things that your true character are attached to. So when you get under pressure, excitement, love, or stress, that's what comes out, your inability to stay focused on your intention. But now, if your intention is to be an upstanding guy in public, but you get under one of those four circumstances, your true character comes out. You neglected your intention. Now, you want to be intentional in this situation, but you can't. Because when you're by yourself, you don't. So the solitude is really what boosts the development, I think, at a faster rate. But it's the toughest thing to do. I was forced to do it, but that's how I realized it. And I never wanted to be in solitude. 7 years. I always had somebody. I had a girlfriend all the time. Was never single longer than 5 months from age. From when my brother died until 30. Never. I had about 6 different girlfriends. All great women. I was the dickhead. But it was great. But they gone now. You know, I hope they're happy. What's up, y'all?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you talk about a lot of authenticity and things like that. So how do you define authenticity and why do so many people struggle to embrace that?
I think it's our conditioning. You know, we're born authentic, and then we're told our name, our language, our house, to do or to sit, how long you can work. Don't work with each other. What the hell? That's what we taught. Don't work with each other. Keep your eyes on your own paper. You know, there's only one right answer. All these things that are, we're conditioned to think. So now we try to live this life that we're developing a character instead of our character. And it's creating all this friction because you want to be one person. But because I'm here in this environment, I have to be. Well, my mom said I have to represent my family because, well, I'm black and they're white. I'm a girl and she's a, what? If you can find a way in your solitude to identify your traits, implement the systems to acquire the traits, to allow you to present your full self, your pure self. And when you do that, you increase your confidence so you can actually take that risk and be like, if they don't like me, fuck it. But some people can't even say fuck it. They don't want to lose somebody. They don't want to lose a job opportunity. I don't want to lose my ex. I don't want my kids to be mad. So we try to shift ourselves and mold ourselves for the feelings of others. When in actuality, when you are exactly who, what makes you happy, you inspire others to do the same. And so I've had plenty of people in the Choose Yourself community, a lot of parents, some teachers, some coaches. When they started taking that time before and after their sleep, call it the foundation, their kids would notice their difference in how they act. Their students would notice the difference in how they act, their coworkers, and they didn't even know they were changing. But they would get feedback from others like, what have you been doing lately? Shit, choosing myself. Choosing yourself. That is the time between yesterday and tomorrow. If you don't check in with yourself, that's why you're still mad about shit from last week. You haven't even checked in with yourself. You go from scrolling, you go to school, you go to work, family, scrolling, binge eat, binge watch, skip your bedtime, sleep, wake up late. Then you don't do nothing for yourself and you're back on your phone.
Yeah. We never spend time with ourselves.
And that's you're running from the authenticity. You skipped it. You skipped it, you know?
Now, are you a parent?
No. That's one thing not yet, man.
Gotcha.
I don't even got a plan.
Well, that's the thing. So, you know, both of us are fathers, two boys. We each have two boys. And like, that's one of the things that we're learning now is let them be bored. That's like the greatest thing one of the greatest things that I've learned as a father is let them be bored. Don't give them the screens. Don't give them anything like, hey, we're stuck. You know what? They're just going to sit in the house. Cables, TVs, everything shut off. Be bored. Learn. Then I feel like that's kind of a way for them to kind of learn from a young age to choose themselves or be able to sit with themselves and kind of see where they're at. But obviously there's some guidance that goes along with it. But yeah, that was like one of the things that him and I have kind of done with our kids is just let them be bored.
Yeah.
It's good for them to be bored. So
nice, man. Now, I mean, I'm gonna have kids one day and I don't know, you know, every time I've talked to somebody like your life's going to change, you're going to change. And I'm like, I get that. You know, I never seen, my dad never did that in front of me or nothing like that, but the screens and the opinions of others and the toxins, those three things for kids and for adults are what's stopping us from being able to maintain an optimum health is those three things. Real majority.
Well, you talk about mindful consumption across the five senses. Break that down for us.
Yeah, man. You got to filter your senses. Like we'll filter a joint. We'll filter the coffee. We'll filter the water. We'll filter our face on Instagram, but you won't filter your feed. You just got big booty girls and fights and guns all on your feed wondering why you got a boner at noon. What are you letting penetrate your mind? If you got somebody talking all this shit on the news that's skewed, what other way do you think your subconscious mind is going to make you think? If you got your music talking about shoot 'em up, rah, rah, ha, ha. What are you going to think when you see somebody with their purse open? The same shit you was listening to when Lil Poop was talking shit.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not... Lil Poop was talking shit. Yeah,
that's good. I like that.
And it's not just about what you eat, what you drink, what you smoke. It's what you're watching.
Consume. Any sort of consumption.
Five senses. Who you touching, how your crib smells, how your armpits smell, how your room smell, how's it look, you know? What are you saying to yourself, to others? You know, how's your breath? Because your breath is the first part of your gut. It goes from your mouth to your butt. That's why some people's mouth smell like their butt. Because they don't take care of their gut. It goes right from the butt to the gut to the mouth, and I be smelling that shit. I'm like, how don't you smell it? It's right by your nose. Damn. But it's about, you know, what you're watching, the group chat you're in, the podcast. So what I did is I stripped down of all that, all my party friends. I filter my feed. It's all motivation now and education, inspiration. and I stopped buying snacks at the store. I changed my music. Now it's just, you know, J. Cole, Kendrick, Wayne, Drake. I didn't go. The new era is just too much. You know, people my age, they're talking about something. Dreams, aspirations, competition, you know, stuff that I can relate to. So it's like, are the things you're consuming in alignment with who you want to be? And a lot of people say that. That's like the root of all personal development. Do the things that are in alignment with the person you want to be. The distractions usually come from our consumption and get us distracted.
Well, so speaking of that, so what's the first step someone should take when feeling stuck?
Well, it depends. It depends. But your nighttime routine and your morning routine. If you can take 30 minutes before sleep, plug your phone in the other room. In 30 minutes or an hour after you wake up, to not touch your phone and really do things for yourself. Before you go to sleep, we'll do like a mini foundation. Plug your phone in. Sit down, write three things you're grateful for, three positive reflections of the day. Meditate for 5 minutes, stretch or breath work, whichever one you want to do, and then read in bed. That's 30 minutes. You already about to go to sleep at 9:30. You don't want to take 30 minutes and sit with yourself. You'd rather just skip that part and try to go to sleep naturally after you've just been stressing all day. So decompress, process your thoughts, and boost your gratitude by writing down things you're grateful for, because the mind will always focus on fear and comfort to keep us safe. So that's what the main focus is going to be, unless you force yourself to go deeper and write it down. And then when you wake up, don't hit the snooze button. Don't snooze yourself. You got to choose yourself, because that snooze button was what you said you would do the night before. That's what's connecting your intention yesterday to today. So if you're going to wake up and the first thing you do is skip your commitment to yourself, subconscious like, emotional day for me. I told him it's comfortable. It's cold. And he hit the snooze. Perfect. I'm going to tell him skip the shower. I'm going to tell him get on his phone. I'm going to tell him eat some bullshit. I'm going to tell him snap at his wife. I'm going to tell him get pissed off at his kids. I'm going to tell him get mad in traffic. And he's going to listen to me all day. Comfortable. That annoying roommate. All day. But if the snooze, you're like, I don't want to get in bed. I'm up. Fuck. You beat it once. Cold shower. You beat it twice.
Momentum.
You brush your teeth for the whole time instead of skipping. Like, oh, my arm's tired. I'm nodding off. Do the whole fucking thing. I know I ain't not the only one.
Yeah.
And once I got a timer on my toothbrush,
yeah,
I figured out I was shorting myself.
Oh, same.
Yeah. You know? And so you do those things and then you get back into your intention. You reflect. So you connect your reflection of yesterday to the morning. You read those three things and then you write your intention for the day, whatever that is. You can either go through your whole day and write the tasks out and write maybe one trait you want to be during that meeting. You got a meeting, you got a commute, you have gym, you have all these things, or you can just write down three things that you're grateful for again. And then you want to do something for the mind, body, spirit. Mind, like read, meditate, body, stretch, exercise, spirit, pray, gratitude. And you do those around your sleep. Now, this is the golden nugget for life. Now, no matter how good or bad your life gets, you go to your foundation. You got a promotion, you're on vacation, foundation. You lose your job, you lose your mom, foundation. You can't repair your roof in the rain. You're going to wait till it rains and try to repair your roof. You're going to slip and bust your shit. When it's 75 and sunny and you're like, oh, I feel great today. Foundation. Because that's the preparation it takes for you to be prepared for adversity so you can remember who the fuck you are when shit goes down. But if you never revisit who you are, then the emotions and habits and your limiting beliefs and your ego are going to make you do something you ain't want to do. And that's typically what happens. You know, people skip themselves.
Yeah, it sounds a lot. Have you read the book, The 5 a.m. Club?
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of that sounds like similar to what they talk about in The 5 a.m. Club. Yeah, that's a great book that we've read. We do a book club and something that a book that we did together and discussed. And that's things that we've implemented now. 5 a.m. is a little early for me, but, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock is when I do my 5 a.m. stuff that the book talks about. Similar stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just attach it to your sleep.
It. Yeah.
Sleep, self.
Yeah.
Self, sleep, self. I don't care if you work overnights. You can go to sleep at 10 a.m. Wake up at 3 p.m., self. 9:30 a.m., self. 3 p.m., self. And then people, world. Because let's be real. Once we get outside of going to sleep and waking up, we're all consumed with all kind of things. All kind of things. You know, what should we do? Where's my friend? Where's my wife? How should I? Am I going to be single my whole life? Am I going to be rich? All these things, which, I mean, those aren't bad thoughts.
No.
But if you know who you are, it's a lot easier to handle them.
Well, Well, you know, with the grief that you've probably felt with your brother dying, with all the legal trouble, how do you think grief has shaped your life?
Gratitude, man. It shifted it to gratitude, and I think that's the best way to process grief.
Yeah,
and it's like at first it was, I can't believe it. How can this happen? What kind of God? What kind of creator? What kind of bullshit? But then you realize that all comes from an attachment and an expectation. So if we have feelings about something, it's our fault because we expected otherwise. Whether good or bad, a miracle or failure, it's just outside of the expectation. If a miracle happened and you expected it, you wouldn't think it was a miracle. You'd be like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. But if you expected otherwise, then you think it was a miracle. So everybody's different. Somebody can be in the same coffee shop. One person depressed, one person joyful, same space and time, just the mind is a difference. So after doing the reflection and the deep work and the solitude work, I realized everything that has happened has shaped me to this. But until you start to shape, and this is the part where it gets lonely, until you start to do the reflecting, the end results don't seem like they're going to benefit you. It's all about what I wanted and what I expected and what I thought would happen. And, oh, woe was me and victim's mentality. This is the trigger point. Then you're like, oh, okay, so I got positivity and, gratitude for my brother. I got solitude from being locked up, and I got sober. Not sober no more completely, but I found my balance, from that. And, I found out what not to do as a dad from my dad. So these are things that I take now into my life. But if you continue to look at the negative of the grieving, it's going to be with you forever. You're going to stay connected to it. You'll never be able to accept it and correct it if you don't process the positive parts of it. So, the grief is what helped you grow.
Yeah, you got to learn from that.
You got to lose and learn, or learn, not lose. Just learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're talking a lot about, too, learning about emotions and controlling your emotions and understanding your emotions. What do you think is more important, EQ or IQ?
EQ. I think EQ gets you IQ.
That's exactly what I say.
Yeah, yeah. I think EQ gets you IQ, because how are you gonna be able to persevere through anything if you freak out every time you get something wrong?
Yeah. I always say, I know people that have a high IQ with a low EQ, but there's not a single person that I met that has a high EQ and a low IQ.
Mm, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's either, man. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think in all things you do, in business, personal, everything, if you learn to control and understand your emotions, you're heads and tails ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
So.
And everybody has bad feelings or bad moments. Mm-hmm. But don't make it a bad day. How long does it last? How fast can you get over it and get after it? Your emotions are like the clouds, and the clouds going to come and go. But the clouds provide shade in the rain, and you ask for flowers. So you're going to wait for the storm to prepare your roof. You prepare your roof. You learn to dance in the rain. Clouds come and go. They pass. You get your flowers. But if you freak out, screwed.
Well, what are some things that you do to help you understand your emotions, understand what you're feeling, and learning how to control those things? What are some things that you've done?
Man, journaling helped, yep, writing that down, but a lot of research.
Okay.
A lot of books, a lot of research. Untethered Soul, Michael Singer was a big book. David Goggins' book, mm-hmm, was
can't
a big
hurt,
book.
Can't hurt me.
Yep. And then Laws of Human Nature, Robert Greene, that was a good one. Way of a Superior Man, Peter Attia, Outlive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Ego is the Enemy. A lot of things that help you understand how the mind works, how humanity works, how anatomy works, how spirituality works. You take yourself out of your head and out of your ego and into this understanding that we're just a blip of 10 million species and 13 million years and 13 million galaxies, and we concerned about the damn bills. You concerned with your damn body. You concerned with whatever's on the news. So journaling, exercise.
Yeah, that's been my biggest one.
All day, man. Exercise.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah.
I mean, the byproduct of working out and training is, yeah, your physique and your health improves. But for me, I work out because of the mental side of things, mental clarity. Hey, I just kicked my ass in this really tough workout. I can literally conquer anything now.
Yeah. No, our exercise has been, and I was just having another conversation the other day. And every time that I ran from something, I went to athletics. But now every time I go through something, I still go to fitness. But the transition came from a different understanding of myself and researching all the other stories of people who have had it way worse and are doing way better. Or the people who still have it worse and are still more grateful to me. You understand what's possible, you train differently. If you know somebody can do it, you train and you aim for that goal. First time, I forget what year it was, but what book was it? Talks about the dude who ran the 5-minute mile.
Yes, yeah.
And then like 17 high schoolers ran a 5-minute mile
like
that
right
year.
Right after him, yeah, because it always seemed, it was thought to be impossible.
Scientifically impossible.
Yeah, but then he did it, and then like you said, like 20 people did it to him, did it that same year.
So it's like, that's just what the mind does, you know, and that comes from a self-belief. But fitness not only shows you that you give a damn about yourself. When you expand your comfort zone, you have to be present because you're unfamiliar. When you're comfortable, your mind can wander. Future, past, I don't have enough, depression, anxiety. When you're uncomfortable, you have to think about who you are and who you want to be to get through this. So when you're exercising, you're doing cardio, you're tired. When you're training, when you're fighting, when you're lifting heavy weights, you have to be like, okay, I have to focus on this right now. You can't think about shit else, especially when you play sports, you get in the zone. Some people dance and paint and they get in the zone. Nothing can penetrate their focus and their flow. So everybody should find what that is. For me, it's fitness.
Well, yeah, for us, it's been that, but then this podcast, like having conversations, talking with awesome people just like you. But I mean, our phones are shut off because normally we're recording on Wednesdays and we'll go back to back. We'll go for an hour and 15 with our guests and we'll take a little bit of a break. But our phones are off and we're just sitting here having cool, awesome conversations with unique people that everyone has a story to tell and we're just letting them tell it here. And it's just so many different perspectives and things like that. It's just, this is something else that's really helped us on the emotional side of things.
Yeah, man. Now that you say that, you know, it's hard to, when you're doing it every day, it's hard to see how much you've grown. And that's the importance of reflection. I'm sure you guys look at your first episode and we're like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
damn. Yes.
Yes. That's all the time. That's the first episode of anything. Right. A new language, a new skill, a new country, new relationship. It's always, you know, the first part. And that's the importance of doing the work, because when you get in somewhere new, you don't want to put up a facade because that shit going to be shut down soon.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into a relationship and be somebody you're not. You don't want to go to work and get your promotion and wear a tie for 1 month when you never wear a tie, because eventually you're going to be someone you're not. You're going to be farther and farther from your truth, you know, and being able to have the conversations, one, it allows you to see that you're not the only one. It allows you to get feedback from others and feel value in your story because it's helping other people. So then it becomes more okay to talk about it. You know, it took years. I was letting out pieces here and there. I didn't want to talk about felony, injuries, dropout, addiction, my dad, my brother. I didn't want to talk about that shit. I was just talking about choose yourself, y'all. Choose yourself. Don't ask me what happened.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I got here. Don't even ask me. Just do it. Trust me. It works.
Well,
yeah, and I'm sure once you did that, once you kind of came out about your past and everything, it probably made you so much more relatable and therefore much more successful, if I'm not mistaken.
And
right?
And I think last year, when we started last year, we got like 25 episodes. But when we started the podcast, it's been a year or two. I wasn't telling my story online. And I had like, you know, 15,000 followers. And so as I started telling more of my story, followers went up. Mm. People want to hear that. People want to hear about that their struggles are not either as bad or it's okay. You know, it's part of life. And they want to hear that there's a light at the end of the tunnel as well.
Yeah, well, it's relatable. People can see themselves in you. And, I mean, that's what people ultimately are going to come back to.
Yeah, and that's the conversation piece you're talking about, man. Talk to somebody. If you don't have anybody, join a group, a community, like those things are powerful. My dad runs a sober community for 14 years, and he has these conversations with people who are going through it all the time. We keep it, you know, his brother has a liquor company, the one that I was with. And so we're like, hey, you want to recover? Go to my dad. You want to relapse? Go to my uncle. We're going to keep it in the family.
We got you both covered.
And that's what I did. I'm like, I got your growth and I got your celebration. Come on with it. Find your balance. You know, I got it from my family.
Yeah.
You know, but having those conversations, and that's really what helped me pull out of my dark place. When I first started with my uncle, I started to dabble back into the party scene. My sales weren't as high in the first 60 days. Expenses were through the roof, lifts. I'm going to parties at 4 a.m. Uncle's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, there's a buyer in Minnetonka. I'm supposed to bring some samples over. He's like, stop doing that shit. Yeah. And eventually he's like, yo, if you don't change, I got to let you go. And so what I did when I had to start waking up at 9 a.m. instead of 1 p.m., I would wake up, alarm would go off, and then I would hit a YouTube video of Goggins or Eric Thomas or some motivational, and I'd let it play on my pillow, and I'd be asleep. He'd say something like, you ain't got what you want. You want to be a man. You think you're, I'm like, I'm going to get up.
Silence is a bitch voice.
I'm like, fuck. I'm like, okay, fine. And after like a couple weeks, I'm like, how did that happen? That's a video that's on there forever. I don't even know that dude. And he triggered something in me to get me up and get after it. And that stayed throughout the day. And I was like, I want to be that for people. So that's when I started doing content. But when I first started saying content, it was from the mindset of the person I wanted to be. But I wasn't quite that person yet offline. So when I would say online, get up, get your shit done, finish the day, do your tasks, eat healthy. And then the whole week I'd be partying Thursday to Sunday. And I do motivational Monday to Thursday. This is like 2018. I start to feel guilty, my integrity, my authenticity. And then I would start to change. It would be Friday, Saturday only. And it was just Friday. And then it was none. And so voicing into the universe what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, knowing people were watching, knowing I had to be there again on Monday without staying out late. I know I got to be there Monday. You got people waiting for my videos. So it was me. It was an integrity loop.
Holding you accountable.
But you had to voice it. You had to voice it. And so that's the importance of having these conversations, man. You got to talk about it. See what's important to you and you know, see how important you are to others.
Someone listening was battling with addiction. You know, what do you think would be the, you know, a good piece of advice for them?
Start small. Pick a day. Stop the mornings. You want to stop vaping? Take an hour. You want to stop drinking? Just wait one more hour. Let that be easy.
One more.
One more hour. One more sip, one more second. You know, you want to stop anything. Like I used to vape, I used to pill, drug, liquor, god dang, black and mouse, coffee, women, dating, like all that. You know, one thing I didn't do was freaking, I was never addicted to porn because I always had women around. but I get it, you know, right. that release, the emotion release. I mean, it's a huge problem now with our younger kids too.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking them up.
It's just so easy for them to access.
And they be fine too.
Yeah.
They be fine as hell. Now you see a great woman who's 8, but she's not fine enough because the ass ain't shaking like it was online. Now you all messed up, your dopamine release all messed up. You can't even get high no more. My friend left his girlfriend's house to go beat his dick.
Really?
I said, what? That's not your girlfriend.
No.
That's your support system.
Yeah. Wow.
Not your girlfriend. I said, boy, he tripping. So when he told me that, that was one of the reasons, one of the first times I was like, damn, that's a real problem. Because that's somebody in my circle dealing with that.
Yeah.
I think that's something that so many men struggle with. And it's obviously not something that most people are comfortable talking about.
Yeah. No, I talk about it often online. You know, I tell people, just pick a day, one day a week. I say that for anything you like. Try to get to one day. First, the goal is to strip down of everything. Can you go 30 days with no sugar, liquor, weed, porn, nicotine, caffeine, no fried food, no junk food? I did that for the first time ever in December for 25 days, but I had a WhatsApp group of like, you know, 70 people that I acquired from online. Mm-hmm. And the way that that group shifted in that challenge was just so inspirational. Because at first, like, oh, this sucks. I need coffee. I need pre-workout. I struggled with pre-workout. That was hard. That was the hardest thing, was no pre-workout and workout.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for 14 years, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
But shorty quit Adderall. A bunch of people quit vaping. Somebody quit cigarettes. And I'm like, these are things that people are saying they never could do. But when you are in a group of people who are struggling, just sending quotes, like voice notes, like, hey, you can do it. We can do it one more day. Then you're not alone when you are alone.
Right. And it's holding you accountable to those decisions. And you don't want to let those people down.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I say strip free, gradually strip free, and then find your balance. You know, some people can't go back to sugar because they got diabetes. Some people can't go to liquor because they just can't drink. You know, they're not drinkers. Some people can't go to a damn casino without spending all their money. You know, but find your balance in what hedonic vices, what instant gratification, comfort, convenience can you look forward to? It's not about pulling away from it. You can look forward to it. We're about to have some drinks after this.
Yeah.
But what did I do all week? Woke up at 3, burned 1,000 calories twice, worked out every day, hit the sauna, cold shower, went to sleep on time. you know, stayed intentional with my gut, with my recovery system. So now I'm ready for this. And then tomorrow, same thing. You bracket your celebration with intention. Well, a celebration is also intention, but you bracket your celebration with recovery. But, you know, so start small. Start small. If you trying to quit smoking weed, wait an hour. You know, trying to quit, you know, nicotine or alcohol or, you know, the victim's mentality, that's different. You know, the victim mentality and self-neglection, stuff like that, that's a whole umbrella of things. But we're talking about vices, sugar, liquor, weed, porn, nicotine, caffeine. Start small. Start small. Yeah,
there was one book that I read. You guys know who Josh Hamilton is, baseball player. Addicted to meth and all that stuff. First overall pick years ago and then lost it all to drugs. And then was comeback player of the year and completely changed his life. He wrote a book, and one of the things that he talks about with addiction when he was fighting it was his counselor or therapist, whatever it was do you know what box breathing is?
Yeah, 4-4-4.
Yeah.
Four.
Yep. So he was saying, he's like, whenever I felt like I needed it, I had to do eight box breathing breaths.
Mm.
And he's like, by the time you're done with that, and you're so focused on your breathing that you no longer feel that addiction or feel that need to get that fix. And
yeah.
That was something that I always kind of took into account too. I mean, I still chew tobacco. It's a baseball thing. Like, I don't know, for me, it's relaxing. I enjoy it. And should I quit? Yeah, probably. But I mean, it's not for me. I feel like it's not something that, you know, it's not hurting me. I mean, I can make all the excuses or say all the stuff I want, but if there's times where, you know, I know that I'm like, all right, I'm not going to have it, but I feel that kick and I'll do the box breathing. And as soon as I'm done with the box breathing, all right, I'm done. I moved on. I don't need it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, there's, you know,
there's so many ways to do that. It's just,
yeah. And you can find, you know,
whatever works for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And if you are one that needs pre-workout, you need coffee, you know, you need to smoke, do your thing, man.
Moderation.
Yeah. Everything in moderation, yeah. You know, everything, even water.
Now what's training look like for you?
Or workouts?
Yeah, fitness.
Exercise.
Yeah, like what's your,
I do like? upper, lower, full.
6 days.
Yeah. Yep, and then Sunday will be stretch, sauna, cardio, core. So that's been I've been doing that for a while. I've been looking to maybe switch it up and do one muscle group per week. I mean, yeah, one muscle group per week.
Per day or week?
Per week, oh, yeah. Okay. Like just really? Shoulders only Monday.
Oh, yeah, okay, got it.
You know,
yeah.
So doing that. But, yeah, usually I'll stretch. I wake up. A perfect foundation would be wake up at 3, go to sleep at 8. Right now I'm reading Money Come Dance With Me. It's a book that my manager gave to me about switching your mindset around money and attracting money and doing that, which you always got to stay sharp, man. No matter how rich you are, how much you think you know, or how fit you are, you got to stay sharp because, like we said, the toxins and, you know, the judgment is around.
Oh, yeah.
So 3 a.m. I'm up, hit the cold shower, brush my teeth. Then I'm in the cold shower, lotion, stretch. Then I'm right into the journal, writing my task for the day. Still haven't touched my screen. And then I get meditation, 10 minutes at least, sometimes longer depending on how much time I got. And then I get into my creation time. It's time to create them videos. So I have ideas coming out. I have a bunch of shit written down. I have like 2 notes worth. One note is so long, I can't put any more on it. Just bars and theories and rhyming words. Like I have 5 words that rhyme. Or I have like 1 slogan. Like one of my most viral videos is like, you make a deal with the devil won't show up as the mm-hmm. devil because you won't make the deal.
Yeah.
Ooh, I saw that. I saw that on Instagram and I was like, so what could the devil be? And I made this whole poem from it just because that thought triggered me. And then when I watched that video back, I quit smoking weed on my own video.
That's awesome.
Wow.
My own video. I watched it on the train. I was like, God damn, the devil is weed. Damn it. The devil's in me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, the devil's different for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to spit something too after this about the devil. But, and then, you know, I get 4:30, I'm out, get on the train, get to the gym by 5, stretch again, cardio 15 minutes. And I usually do like 50, 60 minutes of weights. And I try to hit Trader Joe's at 8 twice a week. Otherwise I'll go home and cook clean. And then my first meeting is usually 9 or 10. So okay. From 3 to 9 is myself, foundation, creation, contribution online. 9 to about 1 is my one-on-one coaching, my meetings, my podcast, Choose Yourself Communities at 10. And then from 1 to 7, I'm in the street slanging liquor. And then I'm back to it, man. And then I usually pick one You know, I try to go out with my boys and talk shit, you know, and drink and go out, stay out late, you know, chop it up with other people, bartenders and other girls, and, you know, just staying fresh, man. Good job's networking, man.
Yeah. You got to network.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't not go out after 8. That's right. When everything starts cracking, you know. People invite me to events all the time, and usually I can't go. But when I can, you know, I do. So.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm fascinated with the gut.
Yeah.
Now, I'd love to hear more about your philosophy of that and kind of what knowledge you can give us on that.
Yeah, no, my mom, Mama D, man. Shout out Mama D. She had leaky gut, anxiety, depression. Like, my little brother died, fucked up bad. And I saw that. And she's anxiety meds, sleeping meds, depression meds, blood pressure meds. And, you know, she was going down. Protein levels weren't where they're supposed to be for like 18 months. She's on a meat diet and all this shit. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, it comes a point where you got to start taking care of your parents. And this was the time. When I moved away, I wasn't as close to her. So every time I talked to her, there was some big thing happening. Like, when you see somebody every day, you don't notice them lose 10 pounds. But when you see them and 6 months later, like, well, it looks different.
Right.
So eventually when I started talking to her, I started noticing different tones and different, how you doing? Okay. I'm like, what the hell, what you mean? You know? And I started researching health and mind, body, spirit, and how the gut really speaks through the vagus nerve to the mind. So
it's like that gut feeling.
Gut feeling, man. It's the internal compass. Why you get butterflies. So hearing all her issues, I'm like, I got to find a solution. All of a sudden, one of my business partners, now bless her, reaches out to me with a gut repair solution. I was like, all right, fuck it. There's so many damn solutions. Let me just try one. Start researching the gut, attending these meetings, understanding the impact it has on skin, sleep, mental health, your physique, hereditary, your reproduction, your ability to have potency in your semen, your ability to produce breast milk, your ability to provide for your kids. You know, your gut is really what disperses or distributes all your nutrients. So what I've come to find out, and what now they're talking about with RFK and the mom movement, that it's toxins everywhere.
Yeah.
So gut health is at all-time low, toxins at all-time high. People getting sicker younger. People getting diabetes at 25.
Have you seen the Means brother and sister, Callie and Casey? They're doctors, but they were on Rogan, Tucker Carlson show, but talking a lot about like gut health and things like that and just health overall, but all the plastics and stuff that are in our food. I think that would be for a good resource for you to look into.
Yeah. Definitely want to tap in, but, you know, so I'm like trying to figure out these products, what they do. So I started taking them. First, I noticed sleep, no midday wall. My sleep got, you know, I slept.
You started taking what?
Gut repair solution. So there's a product that helps repair the fissures and tears in your gut lining from the toxins and stuff that's in the cell membranes of the vegetables and the overspraying and the glyphosate. And it just tears up a microbiome. It's supposed to kill it's supposed to keep GMOs alive and kill living organisms in the farms. So when we eat it, it kills our living organisms.
Kills everything.
Right.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny as you mentioned that on the way here, I saw a billboard saying like, it was like for some farmers union talking about like, how to protect glyphosate, protect being able to use glyphosate. And I like looked at the billboard. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Damn.
Like what? Like, damn. I mean, I guess obviously it's going to severely impact the farming industry because they're going to have to kind of change the way they're doing everything because they're just spraying poison all over the food to kill everything, to keep all the, you know, the bugs, the, you know, rodents, everything that they would eat the crops and everything. I mean, they spray the glyphosate on it. So it lasts longer.
Yeah, it lasts longer.
And, yeah, but I drove by like on the way here today and I saw like a billboard, you know, saying it was like protect our ability to use glyphosate or something like that. And I was like, I can't believe they're advertising this.
Damn.
Like they want you to first
form should put a billboard right underneath it for gut health.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Kirkwood. I mean, I literally drove by it after our closing this morning. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I like had to take a double take. I was like, is that what they're like protecting? They're like, they want to be able to use glyphosate. And damn. I'm like, what?
Well, they got McDonald's advertisements too.
Right? Yeah.
There's going to be a choice everywhere. But the shitty part is that a lot of us don't have a choice because we just have to eat the food that has poison in it. Like, especially in these food desert neighborhoods and the urban neighborhoods, all you can do is eat freaking from whatever that's close to you because you ain't got a car, you ain't got no, you know, and that's maybe by design or not. I don't know. Not my place to say, but, so the products is called Perium. There's a scientist who actually studied for 20 years to develop this product where it repairs the fissures and tears in your gut. And then there's a green shake, power shake, that has 7 salads worth of nutrients, none of the bullshit, none of the extra cell membranes. And then 16 phytonutrients, and then there's a protein called the aminos, the amino building blocks that actually surpass your digestive system and go into your bloodstream so you can take them without breaking a fast. They're meant to help people build muscle who can't get out the bed. So whether you want to lose weight or build muscle, it's the building blocks that we try to extract from protein. When we eat meat, we actually break down the protein into aminos. But a lot of times, if our gut health isn't at its high functionality, we can't get all the aminos. And you're stressing your gut, especially if the cow's fucked up when you killed it. You know, so being able to give yourself fruits, vegetables, proteins, and gut repair, that's the four product system, the gut repair solution I'm talking about. Sent it to my mom. She'd been on it for like 7 months, right? She'd been to treatment for alcohol 4 times in the last 3 years. This is her longest time sober over this amount of time. Her sleep's back to normal. Her protein level's back to normal. She's off her anxiety meds. She's off her sleeping meds. She'd been on these things my whole life. Only thing that changed was I sent her this box every month, and she loves the shit.
Yeah.
And all this stuff's going away. The doctor's taking her off a med. She's getting sleep. Like, she had a brain tumor years back where she always had migraines, so her migraines are dissipating.
Now, is this a product that you have that you sell, or is this something that you're, and that's another subscription out there that you just set your mom up on?
No, I'm an affiliate.
Okay.
Yep, yep. Gotcha. So I do have a small business, but I'm an affiliate with it. You know, you get to a certain level, you become part owner.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, it's instead of them marketing it to the masses,
yeah,
it's multi-level marketing.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be interested to after we get done with this and look into that and
yeah.
see what we can do to get that stuff going on around here.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be on it for life. I love it.
So if you could go back when you were 19, you know, what is three things you tell yourself?
Shit.
Obviously, that was kind of a pivotal time in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 19, man. Stay humble. I was not humble. I was the best at everything all the time. And so I got privileged by teachers, my friends, the girls. Like, I didn't really, and I was smart, too. All my work was done. I just didn't do homework. My tests, I aced them. Speeches, presentations, group projects. When I was in school, I did it. When I was home, I wasn't worried about that. I had a sick brother. So I was like, school's not for me. Only reason I'm still doing it is so I could play in the fall. You know, and that's a lot of athletes, I think, too.
Yeah.
But to y'all out there who only going to school to play, understand less than 0.1% of y'all going to the league, so you better find a backup plan.
Yeah. You see it with baseball players all the time. That's what I played. And especially kids that get drafted out of high school, their whole right. identity is tied to baseball, and they get out of it and they're falling into depression and drugs and alcohol, and it's not good. Not as much for guys coming out of college, you know,
yeah,
coming out with scholarships and things like that, or degrees and things. It's a little bit easier for them to fall back when it doesn't work out. But yeah, it's crazy. The mental side of things that kind of get screwed up along the way for athletes when their identity is tied to it and it's stripped away from them real quick.
Quick, man. That's what happened. When I found out I couldn't play no more, I'm like, back to the streets, y'all. Going yeah. somewhere where they think I'm an all-star. I'll yeah. be the life of the party, you know, and get all the praise like I did on the field. Somewhere I got to feed that ego because I don't want to sit with myself and have to deal with it. And that's another thing I would say at 19 is get comfortable with solitude. Be comfortable being alone. You know, you ain't got to be on the screen. You ain't got to be on the video game. You ain't got to be with your friends. You ain't got to be at every party. Be comfortable with being alone. Find something you like to do alone. Painting, writing, exercise, you know, create, building, something you like to do on your own. So humble, solitude, and then faith too. Faith in something greater. Not only faith in something greater, faith in yourself. And I think that's what breeds authenticity. You have faith in yourself to build confidence, but faith in something greater to keep you humble. You have this middle ground of like, I got this, but if I don't, I'm good.
And you mentioned finding that while you were in jail, correct?
Yeah, that was the initial point that pushed me on that path. But then it was just work, man, just work, reflection, reading, conversation, reflection, reading, conversation. And when the student's ready, the teacher appears. But you'll never be able to lead if you can't follow the path that's not there. And that's when you know you're in the right place. When you're on a path, you're like, I'm not sure where I'm at. You're present. Because you have to be present to know where you're going. That's the comfort zone expansion. If you don't know where you're going, that's where you really find who you are. Because like we said, under pressure, under stress, under love, under excitement, your true character shows. Those are all comfort zone. Those feelings and emotional states are all things that push us outside of our comfort zone, somewhere we've never been, or maybe we have in a similar sense. But being able to be yourself and keep the faith, I think is what would have helped really, you know, push through all those things I ran from. You know, I didn't have faith.
Yeah.
I just left. I'm like, fuck this. They want me everywhere.
Yeah, we've had a few, but we have a few friends. One we've had on the show, actually they're twins that also wound up in prison for things. And their biggest thing is tied to their faith. And even with where they're at now, they're both very, very successful at what they did, or what they do. And they keep falling back to the faith and the higher power. I mean, you know, is that something that you feel you feel like that's something that everybody should look into, is finding that higher power, maybe not religious, going too deep into religion, but some sort of higher power to keep you humble.
Something, man. And it doesn't even have to be like that. It can be humanity. It could be your family. It could be your legacy.
Is that something what is your higher power that you.
Mine is the similarities between all of us, but also I think whatever I was put here to do, you know, and I think there is a greater source, a greater power that connects us all. And I don't know where it started. Tadpoles, monkeys, right. Adam and Eve, whatever the hell, Big Bang, whatever the hell. Maybe it's all true, you know, but I do believe that y'all have a gift, and society's intention is to keep us from that gift and to keep us in a worker's mentality. So without having that faith, man, what are you really looking for? You're looking for possessions, achievements, looks, money, status, and all that shit's going to change. So you ain't never going to be happy, because once you get those things, you're going to want more. And if everybody had what we have right now, you wouldn't even want it. That's the type of life we live in. If everybody had this sweater, people like, nah, I don't want this no more.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody got this car. I don't want it. Nah. Oh, I lived here for 2 years. I want to leave. You know, but we wanted everything we have right now. That's why we got it. It's a result of what we wanted. And so we go from wanting it to having it, but never appreciating we have it, to wanting more, just like that. And then we get old. So finding that gift, it makes you go inside, into the present, into the now, and what you actually have. That's not material. It's your characteristics. It's what you know. It's your knowledge plus what your passion is, what lights you up, and then how you provide that perspective to people, I think is the gift, you know.
Yeah. That's awesome. And where do you see yourself going? Where do you see Choose Yourself going? What is the goal that you have for Choose Yourself? Where do you see this going?
We meet the Choose Yourself community. It's an online accountability group. We meet every Tuesday, 10 a.m. So to build that community larger and larger, have annual trips for the community, doing retreats, you know, probably quarterly as well. And then travel the world and talk about the Choose Yourself movement. That's the goal. High schools, corporations, we do, you know, recovery institutions, you know, freaking anything that I've been through, I'd love to go there and speak about choosing yourself, because I believe it's the underlying truth to all belief systems. Whether, even if you think God is external, that came from here.
Yeah.
So you choosing that is choosing yourself, because somebody over here might not even think that.
Yeah.
You know, and so to be able to travel the world, speak, you know, drop my book, Choose Yourself to Be Chosen, host workshops for that. It's a workbook, and build the community, you know, and celebrate drinking the best agave spirit on the planet.
Yeah. So how do you balance being like hyper disciplined, but also like still enjoying life? Like, do you think you can overdo self-improvement?
Nah, no. I don't think you can overdo it, but I think you can get distracted from appreciating family and fun and the actual life that's been put around us, the trees, the air, the space, you know, regardless of how many toxins is in it now. But to be able to enjoy it by going too far in, you know, I think there's religious people like that. There's people in all industries who are just nose to the grindstone for video games, or nose to the grindstone for, you know, religion, or, you know, and I think not sharing your development with others is a form of being selfish. Sharing too much of yourself to where you can't develop is a form of being selfless. So finding the balance is what's important. So having these communities, these groups, these conversations, my content allows me to connect with people, you know. And so I have days in my year that I know I'm going to connect with people and celebrate our growth. And we have those conversations. So you can definitely do too much of anything.
Now, as far as your content goes, like, do you have like a schedule for how you post, or is it just kind of when you feel? Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, when I have my full foundation days, I'll create like a full morning. So I have the walk and talk, and I do one in the gym, and then I do a live. That's like a full foundation day. But some days I work until, you know, 1 a.m. or I'm out till 1 a.m. and I wake up at 6 and my first meeting's at 10. I don't have that extra 45 minutes to create. So I'll just say something that's important that I believe in, but that I already know. It's not something I'm creating. Something I already know. So I still put content out there. And that's the difference between a mini foundation and a full foundation. You don't have to do that morning routine I said from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. every day. If your fire is already lit inside, you can go cold shower, 10 minutes cardio, 20 minutes weight, and still light the fire without having to do the full thing. So I don't have to do the three posts if I'm already in this flow. I can do one on some days. So, you know, so finding that balance is important, but I don't have a schedule at all. But I know in the morning I post. I'm not really on my phone after night at nighttime at all. I don't have a schedule. I know my co-host in my podcast, she almost grew to like a million followers, but she was posting five times a day for like a year and a half.
Yeah, that has to be exhausting.
I was like, damn, what?
Mentally draining.
And she would schedule it all in one day, like Sundays. Hmm. And then it would just automatically post. But she was repurposing videos.
Gotcha. Sure.
So yeah. She wasn't like, you know, making them. Mm-hmm. But she was, you know, it was all the same underlying topic. And so now she's, you know, putting her personality out there and capitalizing. That's the point of content. Build your following, and then you provide resources that are in alignment with people that follow you. That's what you're doing. Building your own network.
Now, you moved to Manhattan or New York to continue to grow this. You're from the Midwest. Back in the Midwest with here now, what's one of the big differences between living in the Midwest versus living in a big city like Manhattan?
Shit, the people, man, the diversity. Like, one thing I noticed, people, when I went there, people were like, where are you from? I'm like, Minneapolis. They're like, no, where are you from? I'm like, what? Like, no, what's your heritage? What's your nationality? I'm like, oh, y'all care about that? Because in Minnesota, everybody's from Minnesota, mostly white.
Right.
So people don't ask about where you're from. Doesn't mean what country. It means what city.
Yes.
So out there, I'm like, oh, Jamaica. Dad, where am I from? I ain't even been asked this before.
Yeah. What's my heritage?
Where are we from, man? So learning that was cool too. Learning about Jamaican, German, and, you know, being from Minneapolis. But
so is that what you're Jamaican and German?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Name's Hakeem too. That's it, man. Yeah.
Well, shit, you look like Derek Jeter. Fuck,
I've gotten that since I moved to New York a bunch.
I believe it. Sure,
never before that, though.
Yankees hat on you. People.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right? No, for sure, for sure. So there's that. The food is amazing as well. But yeah, I noticed in New York City, like in Minnesota, it's Minnesota nice. So hold the door open, wave high. Yep.
Midwest nice.
You know, bless you on the train. Yep. Midwest nice. Yeah, Midwest so nice. You take care of each other.
You wave to your neighbors as you're driving by.
Hey,
you know?
How you doing, man?
New York. I don't even know your name, but I wave at you every day. You know,
a little head nod, like the man nod, like, what's up, man? Like,
man, when I first got there, I brought the nice with me.
Yeah.
Nobody was fucking, everybody's like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you smiling?
Fucking weird, dude. What are you doing?
I don't know you. What you doing? Like, because so many people are crazy out there.
Yeah, okay.
You stay focused. Kids, you don't stare at people. Kids don't look at people. You don't even, you just straight up just look at the ground. Because if you look at somebody too long, somebody going to snap. One of these bums going to snap off. Somebody going to spit in your face. Somebody going to say something crazy. And I've seen a lot of altercations on the trains. And obviously, we've heard about them all in the news. But in New York, it's like, you don't hold the door. You go first to keep the flow. If you stop, what you doing?
You're stuck.
There's 100
people behind you. Yeah. Hurry up. Go. Hurry up. You know, getting mad. So there's that. And people don't say bless you to randoms. I do.
Yeah.
I try to still do it. But now it's like, it's fading away.
Yeah, because you get used to it. Yeah,
I'm trying not. I'm trying to not let it fade. Like, that was one thing I said when I noticed I stopped saying bless you. I used to say it to everybody once. If you're going to sneeze and attack, you're on your own after that.
Yeah. Give you one.
Everybody gets one.
After that, you bless yourself. Man, this year. But yeah, so those are some big things. The food, man, the smell. They don't tell you. You don't see on the movies, the pictures, what it smells like.
Yeah, I've been in New York before.
Good or bad?
Smells like shit.
Yeah. It smells like piss everywhere.
It did piss and shit until you walk past the place that got the door open.
Well, shit, but I got a buddy of mine from here. I mean, we grew up playing softball. We didn't grow up, but playing softball together as adults, fantasy football leagues. But he's like, he does rat tours in New York. He's like, man, he's got like, I mean, seriously, he's got like 500,000 followers because of his rat tours that he does in New York City. Just goes around at night finding rats. It's nuts.
Damn.
And these things are like fucking small dogs.
Yo.
It's like a goddamn chihuahua running around out there in the streets. Man. And there's hundreds of them. I'm like,
that's terrifying.
I'm going to stay here in the Midwest with my little mice.
Yeah. The one that I can kill with my foot if I had to.
Man, and they, Yo, I be going. I walk to the gym at rat hour. Rat hour is
rat hour.
It's from like two to six before the city wakes up. Before people start walking, you walk outside. Rats are just from trash to stairs to downstairs. I'm never going downstairs. But you walk outside, I look down the sidewalk. You just rat, just running.
Just fucking ratatouille.
Ratatouille, man. That's splinters. And I started realizing, man, they can jump like 3 feet. They climb walls. They climb toilets. They end up in people's bathrooms and shit. They can tread water for 3 days. I'm like,
oh shit.
I had to look this stuff up. I'm like,
they can tread water for
3 days. They can tread water for 3 days.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. I know. I look, because I do a little bit in the morning, tip top of rat hour with the rat report. I got my face pressed up on the screen. I usually spit a fact about rats. So I had to look up facts first to see what I could say about rats. And those are things I learned. And I'm like, damn. One time I put the trash out at 4 a.m. and there was a big ass rat. I said, oh, hell no. So I don't take my trash out in the morning no more. I wait till the sun comes out. I'm like, I've seen the movies. They jump on your face. Nope. Can't do that. No, they're for real, man. There was one that took a train once. I saw the video. One took the train, one stopped, got off.
No way.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it was a viral video. I was like, damn.
Wow.
They've been here too long.
Well, what's one thing you missed about the Midwest? Obviously, you got the food, the people, and all that. That's the diversity in Manhattan. Is there anything that you miss about being in the Midwest besides the niceness?
My car.
That's something we don't think about.
Yeah, my car, man. Dang. You know, walking around with all these bottles on, head on a swivel all the time. You know, you hear about people getting lit on fire. You hear about people getting shit flung in their face. I'm like, that happens to me. Somebody going to die. I'm going to prison because I'm going to black out and I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
If you put shit in my mouth with your horrible gut,
you
ain't taking care of your gut in years. Your skin is fucked up on your feet. I know your gut is messed up. Don't put that in my face, boy. Oh, I saw the video. It was crazy. But yeah, I missed the space, man. The space and my car. But
my question, I was always wondering this. Do they have farmers markets in New York like they do in the Midwest?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
You know how farm to fresh that is just because like how dense and the city is and how I wouldn't think there's many farms get it there.
Yeah, we got some of the cleanest water from the springs upstate.
Okay.
I still filter it, but
right,
shower and faucet, but that's what they say. I don't go to the farmer's market. I go to Trader Joe's. I go to the farmer's market sometimes to support, but.
Yeah. Well, how long are you in St. Louis for?
Today.
Just today.
Oh, what are we doing?
In and out, hey.
Damn, in and out.
In and out, man, but I definitely want to come back, man, for sure. You know,
your first time here?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I always tell people when they come to St. Louis, you need to give it like at least 5 days because talk about diversity. So there's so many different little niches and within St. Louis. You got the Italian community on the hill where you can get some of the best Italian best Italian food outside of Italy. Then you got the Bosnian community, which before long, there's going to be more Bosnian people in St. Louis than there are in Bosnia. Just how they moved into St. Louis. And their food is amazing. So it's Greek, Mediterranean, like the Mediterranean food, delicious. Then you've got, what else? You've got Cherokee Street, which is all Mexican food. Dogtown is the Irish settlement, a bunch of Irish restaurants.
A bunch of pubs and bars.
That's tight. We got our own little cities and little neighborhoods
within the city. And
It's just way more condensed than it is in Manhattan or in New York where you've got the different boroughs. Similar, but it's all, you know, you can get to everything within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And another thing people don't really realize with St. Louis is, I mean, if we look at like the population, it's much bigger than it appears. Cause when they look at the population of St. Louis, they're only talking about St. Louis City. But the thing is about St. Louis is the city and the county are separate. So, you know, the county think like the suburbs, like the areas around the city. So that's technically not St. Louis City, but it is St. Louis County. So it's a lot bigger than it really appears like on a population map or whatever, you know.
So, if you were to combine the city and the county together, St. Louis would be a top 10 city in the country.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's how big it is.
It's kind of like Minneapolis, twin cities.
Yeah.
St. Paul, Minneapolis, plus the suburbs kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man, we love it here. It's all I've ever known, though. So, yeah, I mean, I've traveled a little bit, but not, you know, never really lived anywhere but here.
Yeah, no, traveling, that's another thing. If you can afford it or if you have an opportunity, do that shit. Because I couldn't travel, you know. I never had I'm not even good at geography because I didn't want to look at a map because I couldn't leave the county from 19 to 30.
Well, I was going to say, you had 20 years of probation, right? Like, Is that done and over with now?
I wrote a letter when my uncle was like, yo, we're moving you to New York City. We freaking crushed it in Minnesota. I was like, oh yeah, perfect. Hung up. I'm like, damn.
Shit.
Just wrote a 2-page letter to my judge and she just dropped the probation and the felony. Dropped everything. Wow. Yeah.
No, that's great.
And I moved 10 days after that. And so now once that happened, I'm like, Bahamas, Jamaica, China. Like I never thought about going anywhere ever.
Yeah.
And now that I'm traveling, I'm starting to learn more about myself. And I've traveled every month now since that's happened. I'm like, I'm going. I ain't got no kids. I'm going.
So how long have you been in New York now? How long has it been there?
October will be 4 years.
4 years. Okay. And so you've been traveling now. Where are some of the places that you've been to?
Bahamas, Jamaica, Mexico City. Not Mexico City, Mexico. I've been on a couple cruises. So I've visited a couple, Nisswa, you know, been Vegas, Miami. Like even in the country, it was hard to travel. You got to get a permit and you got to check in when you get there. You got to drop a UA when you get there. And then when you get back, you got to check in. Like, why would I even want to go on vacation then?
Right.
You got me do all so this shit, work. You know? Yeah. So, you know, just going there, those places, you know, went to LA, Chicago. I went to Chicago quite a few times.
What's been one of your favorite trips?
Jamaica.
Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, I went there and I felt it.
Yeah.
And even though I was on a resort, I felt it with the people and they felt it with me. They're like, where you from, man? I'm like, I'm from Minneapolis, but I'm from here. I'm from about St. Mary's Parish, Riley Hill, y'all.
Yeah.
And so, like, they, you know, I think they felt the Jamaican in me when I went there. And I'm definitely going to go back. I'm going to start a farm called Mick Farm Lane. My last name, Mick Farm Lane. So I'm going to throw an M in there. And, you know, I'm going to literally use the same process they do for the Purium products, where you can have shelf life for 2 years. So they freeze the enzymes so that when you add water, they come back to life.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell the most Purium. I'm going to get to the owner. I'm going to say, I need to license what y'all are doing. Bring it to Mick Farm Lane and make my own gut health products.
Dude, I love
That's
it.
That's awesome. It's a great idea.
Thanks. Yeah, right.
So
thanks.
Well, before we let you go, I know you got a few more shows you got to hop on before you get out of here. You got a lot of talking to do today. So we don't. We've enjoyed.
Got you early.
Yeah, we've enjoyed having you on. We got you first. So I'm glad you're able to come on. So. Anything else you want to pitch or throw out there before we let you go?
Yeah, man, just tap in. Big Dream Hakeem on all socials. You know, you can tap in if you're looking for an accountability group. Choose Yourself Community. We meet every week. You know, I do 1-on-1 sessions to get you to manage your time, nighttime routine, sleep, plus morning routine. Really just time management, implementing the systems. Be looking out for the gut repair solution. If you're having problems with your skin or your sleep or your mental health, it starts with the gut. And, you know, be kind to your mind. Be kind to your mind and, you know, just choose yourself to be your best for others, not choose yourself at the expense of others. Gotcha. There's a fine line with that.
Gotcha.
Beautiful.
That's awesome, man.
Earlier you said you had a rhyme you wanted to spit.
Oh, yeah. Let me hit that. You know, the devil's inside and God is inside of all of us. So understand, if you make a deal with the devil won't show up at the devil because you won't make the deal. It might show up as sugar, liquor, nicotine, porn, weed pills. It might show up as a snooze button. Boop. Now watch your dreams get killed. It might show up as a late night out with your friends that overlaps into your morning routine. It might show up as a limiting belief that you are not yourself until you have caffeine. It might show up as self-sabotage or self-destruction. Because whenever God gives you something good, you corrupt it and abruptly interrupt it, seeking a victim's mentality by disrupting your production. But those weren't the instructions you constructed. Where'd your faith go? Did the devil abduct it? It's the restrictions and hesitations, the contradictions and temptations that keep the friction between our addiction and our mission. What you doing? You like being in that condition? It's the contradictions of our convictions due to the deception of our depiction that leads us to our own crucifixion. What you doing? I could see your faith missing. Now, I don't need a sacred church or a text or a prophet to show me God's vision. I'm connected to the same God through my intuition that you seek to connect you through your religion. But how are you going to be overweight and religious? Don't your books say the body is a temple? Why are you being malicious or nutritious? Or is the text fictitious? Come on now. Now, you ain't got to lift weights, but you got to be cool with the way your body disintegrates, fickle and frail all the way to the grave. You ain't got to eat healthy and balanced, but you got to be cool with the look of your skin. And accept REM sleep as a challenge. I could see a sin showing in your skin. And you ain't got to do cardio. But you got to be cool with the notoriety of society with a variety of anxiety. and be prepared to feel anxious every time your heart rate increases because you ain't never worked out your heart before. Come on now. Show me what you eat. I'll show you who you are because you are what you eat. Don't be fake, fast, or cheap. Don't nobody want that. It starts with our consumption on five levels. You know, the gut and the mind were combined when we developed in the womb till it was separated by your spine. That's why they say trust your gut. That's why you get butterflies in your stomach. It's the internal compass. Happy gut, happy mind. Our consumption is the leading cause of disease, mental health, and suicide. What you're doing, what you're eating. And it's not just what you eat, what you drink, what you smoke. It's what you're watching. It's what you're listening to. It's who you follow when you scroll. It's who you poke, who you stroke. It's how your crib smell. Do it smell like old folks and artichokes? Come on now. Our first line of defense is to filter our senses, because it would be senseless to leave them defenseless when the overall consensus is to convince us that there's consequences to being authentic. Come on now. You better choose yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
I love that.
Seeing it live versus watching. That's a whole new level, man. Yeah. That's all. Oh, man. Chills, man. That was great, dude. That was awesome.
Nice, bro.
Yeah, man. Incredible, man. It's been awesome to have you, and thank you for sharing that with us and sharing your story, sharing Choose Yourself. We always hit them with one last question. It's called the Tombstone Game.
Oh, shit.
Here lies Hakeem. What's it say on your tombstone?
Cup filler, not a dream killer. So you got to fill up your cup and pull from an overflow. And don't hit the snooze button. As you stay in your bed, your dreams stay in your head. So I call it the dream killer button. Cup filler, not a dream killer.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
I really appreciate it, man.
Anyone tapping in, y'all stay tuned in to this podcast. These dudes are for real, even in person. I can feel it.
Appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
My man.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Please click that subscribe button if you haven't yet. That'll help us out a ton. Hit that like button as well. Comment what you thought below. And we will see you next time.